You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura on a Football Friday, and we want to tell you that Browns fans, you should secure your Cleveland Browns season tickets for the 2014 season today. Place your deposit to lock in the best seats and prices. Don't miss your chance to join the best fans in the NFL at First Energy Stadium. Visit ClevelandBrowns.com or call 440-824-3434 today. As promised, we are bringing you one of the guys who is so wired into the National Football League, one of the best insiders in the business and a longtime friend. He is Jason Lockenfor of CBS Sports. Jason, how you doing, man?
What's going on, guys?
Hey, so you tell us, because we know how wired you are into this building here with regard to the Browns coaching search. What's the latest that you have on this? And just give us a perspective on how you see it going, Jay.
Well, you know, everything I've heard in the last, four or five days leads me to believe that they're looking to do something pretty exciting. And you know, we heard Joe Banner at the press, most recent press conference, reference Andy Reid several times. And I know they're looking at a lot of different candidates and perhaps that diamond in the rough. And Josh McDaniels is, you know, expected to interview with them. And, you know, he's highly thought of by people in that building, but I don't know that that's a slam dunk. And I continue to hear that they're very enamored with some of these college guys. Gus Malzahn at Auburn and James Franklin at Vanderbilt. In particular, I'm not sure about getting Gus out of Auburn. He hasn't been there that long. That's kind of a pretty unique situation there, and that may take some doing. And I don't even know how optimistic they are that they can get it done. But those are the kind of things that they're looking at. They're trying to be a little bit outside the box and a little bit forward thinking. And I don't think they made this move to go and get a quote unquote retread. And look, Josh McDaniels at his age, I don't consider him a retread. I mean, he's still a guy who should be just not even entering his coaching prime, really. But, you know, he would fit the mold. And I think they go offense, if it makes sense. Not that they're married to that idea, but, you know, they've got to get an offensive identity going there. They've got to get a quarterback, and they've got to get some stability. And you know, Josh has worked a little bit with Hoyer, I guess, which can't hurt. But I would really continue to keep an eye on the college guys as those seasons continue to end and as this search progresses.
Jay Locks, what's up, brother? Thanks for joining us. Do you get a sense of the timetable for this coaching search? When do you expect the Browns to have a head coach?
Angry laughter. I don't know that there is one, brother. I think it's whenever they can get one of these guys. I mean, if they feel like they can get a Gus Malzahn or James Franklin, you know, then you kind of play that out. And there's guys you're going to talk to in the NFL in the meantime, and you might as well cut a fairly wide swath with that. But this is it now. I mean, you fire a coach in 12 months. The next guy is going to come in under a lot of scrutiny, and there's going to be an expectation that well, you fired that other guy for a reason, so you must think you're going to win relatively quickly with the new guy. So I don't think it's going to be a matter of, oh, geez, we don't have a coach yet by the Senior Bowl or whatever if we get to that matter. As long as they're continuing the process and they're getting some feelers back and feel like some of these guys who are on their wish list, there's some potential for that. Then you know I don't think there's an immediate rush. This isn't like the Tampa situation where people back in November were saying, "Hey, if they can't get Bill Cowher, which they never had a shot at, then they're going to get Lovie Smith." And you know Bill O'Brien, he obviously started that process with Houston a while back because they fired their coach midseason, so they got to jump on it. So you know, those situations are a little bit different. I think this one will play out over the coming weeks.
Jay, let me ask you this as well, because I've seen you mention on Twitter that the team is closing in or perhaps is targeting Jim Schwartz as a defensive coordinator. So I have two questions about this. Number one, we've heard Joe Banner repeatedly say that this new coach will be the one to select his staff. So that seems a little odd to me that Jim Schwartz would already be being tabbed as a defensive coordinator. Number two, he's a 4-3 guy, and this team just made a significant investment in the 3-4, obviously in Paul Kruger, their biggest free agent signing last year, Barkevious Mingo in the draft. So talk a little bit about that story and where that seems to be coming from.
Well, I just know he'd be on a short list of guys if they need a defensive coordinator to go. And as we know, their coaches right now, if something were to develop for them, they could go ahead and explore it. So North Turner is not going to be back. Everything I've heard is that ship has sailed. And the reality, again, is they probably hire an offensive-minded head coach, which in that case you know, you don't really have Norv as much, because whoever they hire may be a play caller himself. And, you know, there was obviously some bad blood there at the end. And, you know, Jim Schwartz is one who, look, if they need a defensive coordinator, I'm telling you, that guy would probably be in the mix. Would he get it? I don't know. It would be up to the staff and the coaches and all that to figure it out. But I know that he's highly thought of. And as some of these guys come off the board, Mike Nolan signed his extension. You know, Leslie Frazier, not that they'd be interested in Leslie Frazier, but he's going to end up with Lovie Smith in Tampa. So as the you know, ball starts falling and you see who still has a seat at the table and who doesn't. And look, I heard from some people that Schwartz, if he had his druthers, would take the year off.
Jason Lockenforge, I'm sorry, Jason joins us from CBS Sports. I have heard the same thing, that I was just going to follow up with that Jim Schwartz possibly wants to sit out and see if he can get a head coaching job next year. Is that the same thing that you've been hearing?
I've heard that, but I also know that, you know, there's some ties there and some opportunities there that may get him to do otherwise. But he's definitely told people that, hey, if I don't get a head coaching job this time around, and certainly I haven't heard him being considered for any, then, you know, I need to sit out a year and kind of recharge my batteries and then shoot for next year. But, you know, these things have a way of changing, and, you know, I think it'd be interesting to see. First, we'll see who the head coach is of the Browns and if there's a connection. If it's a college guy, you know, a lot of times they don't have an NFL-ready coordinator on their staff.
Right.
So a lot of, especially for those guys in particular, when the challenge has become, how do I put together an NFL-ready staff? So if you've already got a few guys on speed dial that you know can do the job, that expedites the whole staffing process. And if there's a match and those guys get along, then, you know, that can work.
What's the, when you talk about these college names, Gus Malzahn of Auburn, obvious because he's competing for the national championship, but then James Franklin from Vanderbilt, and we just heard Bob Stoops, Oklahoma, big win last night against Alabama. What would be the appeal, if you could just give a highlight on each of these guys, that would make the Browns think that they could be a good fit in the NFL?
I mean, Stoops I haven't heard as much on, so I can't really speak to that. I had not heard that, and that one would surprise me. I mean, Gus Malzahn, that program was kind of in peril. They had the glory there with Cam Newton. He goes away, and the program, you know, is kind of on the decline, and he comes in, rectifies it in a year, beats Nick Saban, plays for a national championship, has a sort of an energizing, galvanizing personality, and he's someone who a lot of people think, you know, could have some Chip Kelly in him. You know, I think you can go back and look at the guys the Browns really wanted last year. You know, Josh McDaniels wouldn't interview with him. Chip Kelly, you know, that went in a different direction. They were interested in Doug Marrone. That went in a different direction. So, you know, it's not like they weren't going down this road a year ago. And it's not like Krasinski was their first, second, or probably even third choice, you know, all truth be told. James Franklin, what does he have? Well, I mean, Vandy. I mean, for them to compete as they have in the SEC, that tells people some things. You know, he was successful at the University of Maryland and was sort of the coach in waiting there in the region. He's worked with some pretty good people. He began his career, I believe, as an intern with the Eagles, and he does have at least 1 year of wide receiver experience, coach experience at the NFL level. So, I mean, you start thinking that Andy Reid paradigm and an up-and-coming guy, and, you know, bright and maybe not super qualified by some estimations, but, you know, was a position coach. I think there's some definite allure there.
Jay, when you look at these coaches and the coaching vacancies that are out there, we just saw today the Browns named with five players on the All-Pro team, two on the first team, three on the second team. The Browns are the only team in the NFL with more than three who did not make the playoffs. How do you rank this Browns vacancy in terms of appeal to a coach that would want to come in and be able to win right away?
I mean, it's tough. Some of these other jobs in different divisions, you know, might be a little better. It just depends how quickly you think you compete. Baltimore looks like they're down. Pittsburgh looks like they're down. I don't think they'll stay down for long, but they're a little bit down for now. You know, and is Cincinnati a paper tiger or not? I think we'll find out if they can establish a playoff pedigree this time around. I mean, you don't have a quarterback. I mean, that's the problem. I mean, and you know, that's why people are looking at Detroit and saying, hey, I'll go there. Or even Houston, they're saying, well, first overall, I'm going to get whoever I want if I want to go that direction. So, you know, there's no guarantees where the Bears, where the Browns are sitting on a quarterback. And there's going to be, frankly, some coaches who are looking at what happened to Krasinski saying, you know, that's going to give me a little pause. Now, at the end of the day, you know, the job talks and the money talks and the opportunity talks. And, you know, we'll see in which direction. direction they go in. And I mean, I think it's a job that, yeah, I mean, there obviously is some talent there. I think there's some holes, and maybe the first 10 minutes, and it was going to be difficult, if not impossible, to fill all those holes in one offseason. And, you know, they certainly laid the foundation in a lot of ways, and they've developed some players. And, yeah, I mean, you got to like the wide receiver. You got to like the tight end. But you know, you don't have a running game, and you don't have a quarterback. So those would be some of the drawbacks. And on defense, there's certainly talent, without a doubt.
Bigger picture than that, Jay, as you said, opportunity and money talk. Do they talk loudly enough to overcome sort of the very negative perception that's out there, not only giving Rob Chudzinski only less than a year and saying goodbye to him, and that circulating? You know how coaches talk among coaches, and you got Norv Turner and others who are going to be very angry and bitter about this whole situation and talking about this with trusted friends and people that respect them throughout the league. So putting that word out there, the agents who represent some of these people, and general feeling that, you know, this is a bad place to come, even if you have that talent, because there's indecision or whatever is perceived to be the problems here that lead to this kind of a unusual and dramatic shift after just one season, barely one season. What's your sense of what you're hearing on the street with regard to perception of coming to the Browns?
Well, I mean, some of that is certainly out there. You know, to what degree would it matter to different people? You know, I think some of these coaches are in different situations. I think Malzahn, a guy competing for a national title, it might be a little bit tougher of a sell than a James Franklin, who might be looking there saying, well, you know what, how long am I going to be able to do what I'm doing at Vandy? As all these other teams keep reloading and retooling from a talent standpoint, you know, is this my window to leave? Sort of like Bill O'Brien. He was coming out this year. He was taking a job. I said it months ago. He was done at Penn State. He was looking towards the NFL, and he was going to take a job. He was ready to make that move. He was not going to be recruiting 19-year-old kids this offseason. He was going to be implementing an offense during OTAs for some NFL team. You know, so I think it kind of depends on the candidate. I mean, Josh McDaniels, is he ready to make the jump now? He's got a young family. They've moved around, I think, four times in 4 years. Last year, he really wanted to just focus on the Patriots and securing his family back in that area and everything else. Is he ready to make the jump now? Does it make sense for him? I mean, and the idea of what the Browns are, I mean, it's still evolving. I mean, I think there's always going to be perceptions, rightly or wrongly, right away, immediately, people are going to have certain snap judgments. And again, yeah, firing a coach after not even a full calendar year on the job is going to raise some eyebrows. But I don't think it's an impossibility. And frankly, for some of the guys that they're focused on, I don't think that would be, you know, a tremendous deciding factor one way or the other. It's going to be more like, what's our plan for getting a quarterback? And, you know, what are we doing with the roster? And are we keeping the center? Because, you know, are we going to let him walk out of the building? And what's our budget look like for free agency this year? I mean, I think those things ultimately at the end of the day will carry much more weight than whatever did or didn't go down with Chudzinski.
All right. Well, Jay, thank you for this great breakdown, as always, and the outstanding reporting that you continue to do. We always love to check in with you, and I'm sure it won't be too long before we do this again.
Sounds good, guys. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
And get to New York early. We need some Angry Lobster this weekend.
You know what? I actually am now. I had to change my – I have to do something for CBS Evening News, so I'm coming in real early.
All right. Well, I'll see you at M&P, brother.
All right, dude.
He is Jason Lacanfora from CBS Sports, breaking it down for us. And more breakdown coming your way. We're going to hear from – good kind of breakdown. We're going to hear from Tom Withers. Maybe I'm talking about myself. Tom Withers from the Associated Press will be joining us. He covers, of course, the Browns for the AP. And we'll get his perspective on all that is going on Browns-wise. On CBD, Vic and Nathan, ESPN 850 WKNR. Well,